I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
John and Lance with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What happened, Dell? It seems like you're a little bit frustrated there.
Every time you leave a place and then come back, your audio is lower than when you left.
What? It's lower? I mean, I got it up as high as possible.
It's on you, Dell.
No, it's not. I can only raise the level so high.
It kind of is on you. I mean, I got it up as high as it can go.
Happens every time.
That is true.
What are you talking about?
That sounds fine.
Okay, I just got to talk like this.
Well, you just can't whisper. You just can't whisper.
Okay, no whispering.
Yeah, emote.
Hey, guys, hope everything's okay.
Where is... I don't even see Lance. Is he even there?
What is it, Quiet Storm?
Is Lance even there? That's what people want to know.
I'm right here. You and the seven people streaming.
So the lead story from yesterday, Christian Gonzalez practiced a limited practice while Nico Collins did not. That's a problem.
Yeah, Christian Gonzalez is going to play.
Yeah.
He didn't practice, but he walked through everything with the team. It's expected that he will practice. Nico Collins has basically no shot. I mean, that was pretty, you know, he grabbed his head. He couldn't make it into the tent. There's no way Nico's playing.
Nope.
No way.
Carted off the field with the towel over the head.
It's just not even close. And Christian Gonzalez, I thought, might miss too because he was... You know, he had an injury just a day before, a concussion, and usually you don't, you know, usually it takes more than a week, it seems like, for these concussions. CJ's took 3 weeks. But this is not a second concussion for Nico Collins in the year. So, not great for him year-wise and maybe career-wise. We'll have to see if he goes to a guardian cap, but I don't think he'll play, and so you've now lost a possession receiver, you've now lost a go-to target, you've now lost a guy who can work down the field, and everyone's got to step up. Jaden Higgins, Xavier Hutchinson, Christian Kirk, those are your big three for this game, and they got to do their job. Woody, you know, you're going to have to find a way to run the football a second time. I mean, a second game in a row, you got to get after him like you did last game. That's what you got to do. And then your defense has played great. I mean, it's not a different formula than anything else all year.
Yeah, no, this is, listen.
But not having Nico is, like, much better with Nico Collins.
Oh, yeah, you are. But it's not like that's something that you can't make up. That's not, you can. Guys got to step up. Jalen Noel has to step. Christian Kirk stepped up. I mean, we have not given him enough love. Listen, if you just got that out of him this season, he was almost worth it. You got a playoff win out of Christian Kirk after you got very little out of him all season long.
Very little.
Very little. But you know what? You got a playoff win in large part because of him. And now he's got to play again like that. This is what you paid him for. Yeah. This is why he got that nice contract, and he needs to step up again. That's all there is to it.
Yep. And CJ's got to get the guy to the ball to the right guys at the right time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but that goes without saying.
Did you see? Holy crap! Saw a stat yesterday. In the Texans' 3 playoff wins, CJ has 5 touchdowns and 4 turnovers.
No.
5 touchdowns in the 3 playoff wins. He's got 5 touchdowns and 4 turnovers. Mm. The defense in those same wins,
yeah,
has 5 touchdowns.
Holy
the
crap.
The defense has as many touchdowns as CJ does.
Mm.
Not as the offense, as CJ.
Wow, that's incredible.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. Speaks to the defense for one.
The defense has given up 32 points and scored 32 points in the 3 wins.
That is...
That's unbelievable.
How they scored 32?
A...
Safety?
No, a blocked extra point returned. I guess that's special teams.
Well, that's DST.
Wait... Yeah, it's defense special teams. Yeah. I guess in fantasy points that would be 2 points. I don't believe they've had a safety in the playoffs.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. They got a block extra point and returned it for the score. Anyway, even if you don't give that to them, they've got 5 touchdowns. 5.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. Yeah. Just incredible. I mean, that game against the Browns where you had 2 returns for touchdowns. Christian Harris had that one that was beautiful. You had, well, whatever. You had the Bills as well. They scored a touchdown defensively. Just fantastic. Just fantastic defense. And now you just got to get. So the question was, is CJ a winning quarterback in the postseason?
Yes, he's 3-0.
No, he's 3-2.
No, I don't count the second games.
You don't count the second games?
So this one won't count. The second games are way harder.
So this one won't count if they win?
He's 3-0 in the general playoffs.
Oh, in the general wild card playoffs, yes.
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 So he is, they were talking about, is he a bus driver or is he, this was on Fox. And it was clear that he's just driving this thing along and not all that great. He's not driving it all along.
No, this is not. I mean, you just have to get past the CJ people who will then hit you with, what's his record in the playoffs? That's all that matters. Well, it's 3-2.
3-2.
Which is fine. It's better than Mike Tomlin's playoff record is. But it's fine. It's fine. But it's not. It's actually not fine enough. If your goal is to win a championship, you've got to really drive the bus efficiently and effectively, mm-hmm. and that's not really what's happening. All the data would tell you that. Your human eyes would tell you that. Got to play better. He knows it. Nothing else you can do until you just play the games and see what happens. You got one coming up. I mean, he'll have to play well. This game, if they win, CJ will play a large part in that. I don't see the defense just winning this game for you. To me, he is going to have to – you know, CJ didn't win the game last game for you. You won it despite CJ Stroud. If you beat New England this next one, I think it's almost going to be a given that he played pretty well.
Yeah. Yep.
On the road, second game again, a New England team that's been consistent pretty much throughout the year. I don't care who they played against. They've been a consistent team. They're well coached. Even if your defense plays well offensively, you don't have your wide receiver one. They have their cornerback one coming back, and he's a good one. And Carlton Davis is a bully on the other side. So you got 2 bigs who match up with your bigs, a wide receiver. So and they got a good defensive front that's probably better than the Texans' offensive line. If you win, C.J. Stroud played well. More than likely, C.J. Stroud played at least above average for you to win, and it took a really good defensive performance. If your defense doesn't play well, I don't know that you have a shot in this one.
You know, we got earlier this week, maybe Monday, we had a caller, I forget who, it was Gary, that called in and said it was the offensive line's fault.
It wasn't Gary, it was somebody else. So
yeah, it was somebody else.
Yeah.
Somebody called in and said it was the offensive line's fault. I was McAfee had a guy, A.Q. Shipley. You know
who A.Q. My dad, he played for my dad at Pittsburgh.
Okay.
He's famous for being one of the shortest arm centers in the history of football. T-Rex. Played at Penn State.
Well, who took over from LSU?
Ethan Posich?
No. Or, maybe he was the guard, the LSU guy that ate salads and wouldn't eat.
In Pittsburgh. No, you're talking about Cleveland, Jeff Fain.
Oh, yeah, Jeff Fain.
That was Notre Dame.
That was
Cleveland. That was a different team.
No, I was talking about someone. Was it Fain?
Jeff Fain was. It wasn't that he ate salads. He just was lean. He wanted to eat all protein so he could lean down and, like, what are you doing? You're a center in the NFL.
Eat.
You know.
Eat. You get fat.
I'm going to walk to burn some of these fat off. Like, no.
Anyway, he ranked all the offensive lines in Wild Card Weekend.
Uh-huh.
And guess who finished first?
Texans. Well, Texans were all over people.
Texans, I mean, with that running game, CJ had time to throw. Although the stats said that he was pressured 46% of the time, which was, you know, one of his highest. He held on to the ball.
Yeah.
And or couldn't catch the ball. I saw somewhere, too, that they were like, yeah, listen, if they got to get this center thing worked out. You know, the snaps were coming rocketing back there. And, low. And what?
No, it wasn't. Rocketed back there. I mean, the one where CJ was looking where it was, you know, I'm assuming injury shouldn't have. CJ knows when it's supposed to be snapped. I assume that's on center. The other one's just, he just took his eye off of it.
He just dropped him. They were decent. They were fine.
Sometimes I just think people just decide that they're going to, like, all right, let's, what kind of narrative are we going to, you know, you saw the first snap in slow mo. You saw the snap that was in slow motion. It hit CJ in the chest or in the stomach when he was not looking. And he's like, oh, man, he's rocketing. They got to stop this. Like, that's one, look at all of them. That the other two were not that. So don't just be lazy and say that. Take a look at all of them.
Right.
Yeah, he just, I don't know. He just took his eye off. I don't know any other way to say it. It's not like that's a consistent problem. It was just a consistent problem in one game.
Yeah. No, it's not been a problem. All of a sudden, he's dropping snaps? What the hell? In that situation?
Yeah.
I mean, just creating new things to worry about. As if the false starts and the holds down in the red zone and everything else, as if that isn't enough. Now we got to worry about him catching the snap?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Think about me for a second.
Hopefully we're not going to have to worry about that.
I don't want that to worry about as well. Enough to worry about right now.
This will be, I've seen it with Warren Moon, where once people went against him in the playoffs, it didn't change. I saw it with Matt Schaub. Not really Deshaun so much. Deshaun had some moments in the playoffs. But, you know, and Warren Moon did too. It's just the losses. You know, he just lost some horrific games, had a bad second half against Buffalo. But, you know, Warren I thought was kind of unfairly castigated personally. But CJ's in that territory where, you know, with James Harden, with Biggio and Bagwell, you need to step up in certain moments to avoid having people view you negatively, and you have to switch it to the positive. Really, I mean, that's kind of what's happening here is that once you get this far in, that's what happens. Bagwell and Biggio, after the third playoffs, really is after the second playoffs, after 98, everyone was like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. Bagwell, Biggio, and it never got better.
Well,
a long time. It did for Biggio, I guess.
The pressure compounds itself.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Really does.
And you have to get out of it. And James, you know, would have really good games in the playoffs, and they'd have the absolute stinkers in the elimination games, and it was like that's what you get known for, and CJ has to avoid that. And really, there's no other player other than a kicker who will get known for that. It's the quarterback. Quarterback gets $50-60 million. That's your benefit. The downside is you're going to get a lot of blame, and all of the eyes are going to be on you in those situations. You can't have it both ways. Like, if you want to make a much smaller salary, then, well, but guess what? It wouldn't matter. You'd still get the same amount. You'd still get a disproportionate amount of eyes on you. But I don't think it's disproportionate. Quarterbacks are that important. That's why they get drafted earlier than they should. That's why they make more money than they should. I'm talking about average quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Because you know, you have to play to a level.
Well, it's proven. Quarterback plays well, you got a really good chance to win football games.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's it. Now, it's a little different in Houston, as it has been with certain football teams when they have extremely dominant defenses.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, it's almost impossible to have that kind of dominant defense and be efficient offensively. For whatever reason.
Yeah, I don't. It's crazy. In sports.
Yep. It's crazy.
Why you can't be dominant on defense and good on offense? I guess if you're that, you're a dominant, dominant team. Period.
Yeah. I guess the 17-0 Patriots were a bit like that. Although their defense, I mean, their offense was incredible.
Offense was dominant. The defense was good.
It was really good.
But if you have one unit that's dominant and one unit that's good, you're probably one of the best teams in a long time in your sport.
Yep.
Because it doesn't happen very much. Warriors had some of that.
All right. 7:14 here.
Astros had some of that.
Yeah.
Dominant pitching, good hitting.
And defense. Yeah. And they couldn't hit in the O's, in the aughts.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in the championship era. They had both. They had hitters and pitchers.
Yeah.
They had a dominant run.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, if you can hit and pitch.
That's what I mean. If you have both, you're probably a dominant team. The Chiefs had both at times. I mean, you know, we just want the Texans to be average, and they got a chance to win it this year.
Okay, we got Jake Spavital is going to join us in about a half an hour. He coached Johnny. He coached Kyler. He coached Mendoza as well. We'll get his thoughts on Mendoza. He's also worked with Shannon Dawson. We'll get his thoughts on that. And Josh Pate is going to join us at 9 o'clock. So we got a lot of college football to talk, along with your Texans at 713-780-3776. Right now, Lance has Underdog.
Yeah, Underdog Fantasy. It was a good weekend for a lot of people. I had somebody reach out, sent me a screenshot of what they made. They made $670 on a $10 play on Underdog Fantasy. How did they do that? They picked correctly on, I think it was five different plays on high or low on statistics. That's it. Now, they had a couple of them that were, you know, no pun intended, underdogs. They had ones that they kind of figured out, oh, this one's going higher. People don't expect it to go higher. It's going higher. But they hit every single one of them. That's how it works. You can go as low as two picks. A lot of people like to do 3, 4, 5, even 6 or 7 to really go for the big payouts. This is, by the way, completely legal in the state of Texas, and it's real money, and you get your money when you ask for your money. But Underdog Fantasy is just about, you know, downloading the app, using promo code Lance on your first deposit. After you play your first $5 play, you're going to get $75 in bonus entries. But the cool part is you are going to be able to analyze the games and look at all these different stats, pick ones that you like, and go higher or lower on them. And if you hit all of them, you get a big payout. If you play the flex option where the payouts are a little lower, but you can miss one, you can still make money on that too. So it's a fun way to play along with the games you're watching during the playoff season. And all you do is start today by downloading the Underdog Fantasy app and using promo code Lance.
Must be 18 plus and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_HTML for details. Consider with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER, visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back. ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here with us, there are people that want to get in. So we'll go right to the phones. If you guys want to, this is your show. Whatever you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. It's probably going to be mostly about the Texans. 713-780-3776. Stafford is first up. Hey, Stafford.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I wanted to chime in about, well, I just noticed, like, over the last few years, these coaches are going for it on fourth down in these playoff games. They're not getting it. Jacksonville, the difference in that game was the 3 points that they didn't take when they were, like, on the 4-yard line. And the Chargers, early in the game, when it wasn't out of reach for them, went for missed points and did not go, I mean, did not take the points early in the game. It turned out to not be, you know, the difference, but, you know, I've called in about
the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears, by the way, Stafford, you know, could have easily lost with all the points they left on the field. Yeah.
Yeah. So, are we going to, is this the new thing, or is this just a trend, or is this here to stay? And I want to take back what I said about D'Amico Ryan. This is a serpent mess. I live with it. Because I would be really upset if we lost because he went for it on fourth down and, you know, when we could have took points. But I hang up and listen.
Our coach kicks field goals, okay?
We don't have a lot of decisions to make, though, Jim.
No, we kick field goals.
We don't have decisions to make. It's usually and 11 and 7 and 9, fourth and, fourth
right.
and.
Right.
Fourth. And a lot of fourth and 1, fourth and 2. We're sitting on the, you know, if we're sitting on the 40, that ain't a go for it. That's a 57-yard field goal, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, and
he's gone for it, and you know, and they haven't been successful typically when he does.
We're not great on fourth and
we're not one, great on fourth down.
Fourth we don't, and one.
No,
we ain't about that.
We don't really dial up the winners.
We ain't the 24 Eagles. That's for sure. Nope. We are who we are. Let's be who we are. Let's kick field goals. Like I said, we were going to kick a boatload in that game.
Four touchdowns.
Knew that we were going to score
four touchdowns. Two on defense.
I knew we were going to score a lot of points that weren't offensive points. I didn't think it was going to be the defense.
Well, field goals are considered offensive points.
Yeah,
Kaimi. I thought maybe Kaimi might contribute more.
I think you said he might kick like 14 field
14.
goals.
14. You missed an extra point. And won.
Yeah.
You just you got there. You got there. That's okay. But I'm okay with my kicker. I'm okay with kicking field.
You know what I'm not okay with?
I get so pissed off in the first half. They're going for it on fourth and two. I mean, take the damn point.
Well, play to your team or play to the game. Sense what the game's going to be and know that the points are probably going to matter in a playoff game. Maybe take the points and see how it plays out. And if you have to go for it later, all right. But as it was pointed out on the call and by Lance, plenty of games this weekend where teams wound up regretting not taking points. You know what I don't like? John's back to soft-talking again.
Is he?
I am not soft-talking.
There it is.
Put the mic by your mouth, will you?
Get it's as close right. as you can.
Well, I got a spit thing here.
Well, maybe take that. Well, take the spit filter or whatever you want to call that off and get closer to that microphone.
That shouldn't be it, though. But and, you know, and no, this isn't a trend. It's not changing. This is what it is now. And don't forget, a lot of these guys did grow up playing Madden. You don't punt on Madden. You don't kick field goals on Madden. Go. The more young head coaches you have, the more they are going to be aggressive, either baked in through just growing up that way, or it's just the mentality that it's always push forward, not hold back. That's an entire mentality of generations coming up. Or, you know, they lay heavy on the analytics, and it just says if you don't get it, it's not as penal as if you do get it. That's ultimately what analytics tells you is if you don't get something, you know, for you to risk it and not get it, it's not as bad as it is powerful to go for it and get it. So the risk is greater than the risk is less than the reward is what they tell you. And so they're just gonna keep doing it. But I just think you have to judge the situation, man. How are you playing? What are the matchups? What's the weather? How is the game flow? Is it a tight game where points matter more? Is it a high-scoring game where you're going to have to score a lot more? Like, your decisions have to come off of that. They cannot just be automatically on a card where you go or you don't go. Like, you know, judge it based on the factors of the game.
Andy Reid lost a chance at the playoffs in a defensive game He goes for it on fourth and one from his own 30.
Yeah.
You,
when the offense wasn't playing, the Texas offense was doing nothing.
It was terrible. It was terrible.
Yeah, that was a huge. I mean, what a terrible mistake that was for Andy Reid, because that's game flow says punt and defend. Texans can't beat you.
How many times Dan Quinn, Dan Campbell?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the Dans. That's all they do.
Dan Rivera, Riverboat Dan.
Yeah,
Dan Rivera. Dan Johnson with the Bears.
Dan Hampton.
All of the Dans. All the Dan. Dan coaches. Dan McVay.
Dan Reeves.
Mm-hmm. He was a gunslinger. That's all he did.
What's Dan Jeremiah up to? Would he be a gunslinger too?
No, I don't think so. I think he'd play it a little close to the vest.
I'm not sure about Dan Jeremiah and his. He ain't like those.
He's a
teams.
Close to the vest type guy.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, his dad's one of the biggest pastors in the world.
Is he a megachurch guy?
Yeah. But not like, it's not like Joel Osteen. It's like his is more, it's a little different. It's a little more subdued.
I'm going to send you
he's
to.
He's a monster.
I'm
going
to send you to Drewski's latest sketch.
I've seen it.
Where he just mimics it's a black megachurch this time, but it's just like apparently he found the actual
one flying around.
Yeah, he's like on a harness flying around, and he's playing Kirk Franklin. And there's a real guy he's mimicking. He found the actual suit that the guy wore and put it on. John, I'll send it to you.
That's not Righteous Gemstones.
Oh, it could be, but in this case, it's based off a real person, and it's like he's like talking about, we're not letting you leave until this congregation comes up with $4 million. No one's leaving. And at the very end, he goes, Pastor, can you pray for me? He goes, take your hand off my effing car. Get your hand off my effing car. I'm out of here. I'll send it to you, John.
Get your hand off my car.
That's all he cares about is the congregation. That's
and
it.
And the $4 million they have to come up with.
Well, that's
congregation's pockets.
Yeah, that's part of it. I mean, just a small part, though. Other than the kidnapping and of everyone until they come up, that is actually
skit that's based on real life.
Right.
There is that guy. I saw the guy who's just said, who really was upset that the numbers weren't as high as he wanted it to, and that he had to explain that. When I have the luxury car, when I have these watches, this is a symbol of the church, of all of our prosperity. I am a mechanism of prosperity that Jesus has put on the earth, and I live through you. And I was like, man, I'd love to be able to sell my wife on stuff like that.
Well, isn't it the same one that said, God said I need another plane?
Yeah, that guy was unbelievable.
He was great. I love that guy. I need another plane. Oh, okay. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776 is the number. Ownwell is what I'm talking about right now. Ownwell.com. Ownwell. What is Ownwell? Ownwell is a company that is going to fight your property taxes. I don't own a home anymore in Texas, but when I did, I did it myself. And boy, I wish I'd have known about Ownwell. I say that about a lot of the clients. That I wish I'd have known when I was buying a house, or I wish I'd have known when I was fighting my property taxes. I wish I'd have known about Ownwell, because it takes 3 minutes to sign up. You don't have to do anything after that. They fight for you, okay? You don't want to go up against the government. The government wins, and not against Ownwell. Ownwell wins 86% of the time, which is an unbelievable number to me, because that means that the government is wrong at least that much. And they save, on average, $1,102 for all of their clients. Now, does that mean to you? More money in your pocket, okay? And they take a lower percentage of the other guys. Listen, there are other companies out there, but Ownwell is one of them that is going to take less of a percentage. You don't pay them unless you win. Stop overpaying on property taxes. Get your free savings estimate right now at Ownwell.com. That's Ownwell.com to see how much you can save. Ownwell.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here. John and Lance, along with Dell at 713-780-3776. If you got a call, Dell, let me know if we got any callers so we can get them in here. Jalen Reed of the Texans was targeted in a robbery. This is just, it's unbelievable how it's gotten out of control. Athletes getting, of course, it's always been a thing, right? I mean, let's get the athlete, let's get the guys with the money. But he lost what, a million? Or there was something like a million that was taken from him?
I believe the story is the bail is that because him being specifically targeted, so they upped the bail on that one.
Right. I read the story and I knew there was a million. And yep, the bail was a million for the guy that they caught, which is good. Nice. Way to go, Judge. That's a way we should do things around here. So that's just horrible for these guys. They've got to have extra security while they're playing football games.
Jalen Reed was the target. What was he, a day two or day three pick, Lance?
Jalen Reed from Penn State?
Yeah.
He was a fourth rounder.
So a day three pick, they decide to look, I'm not telling people how to do their crimes.
Right.
But I would probably have gone after someone who maybe was on a second contract. But
probably doesn't have the security that those guys have.
You got to take that into account. But what are you actually taking? What is Jalen Reed?
Xbox.
His PS5? What are we doing?
Rookie? Yeah. By the way, breaking news. John Harbaugh looks like he's finalizing a deal with the Giants. John Harbaugh to the Giants.
He canceled meeting in person with the Titans. He was expected to have the Titans come to his home to work some things out, and he said, after meeting with the Giants, he said, "Nah,
that's toxic over there. You don't want
Harbaugh with the Titans."
Well, so what job is that? What's the number one job right now?
Well, the Giants have a young quarterback, if you believe in him, so you always like that. Maybe you like New York. You know, I guess it's a decision about the division. You think about that. Could be a pretty sporty division. You just never know what the Cowboys are going to be year to year. I don't know moving forward are we going to see the same Jaden Daniels? Is he going to stay healthy? Philadelphia could implode at any time. You know, they're kind of imploding right now. I don't know. Maybe he looks at that as, I got Malik Nabers. I got Jackson Dart. I've got some rush off the edge. I've got stable ownership. I got stable ownership, so you may say, yeah, but those players don't really love Jalen Hurts either, a lot of them. So there's some stuff going on. They got a lot of talent. But
that OC job is about as tough a job. But that's not what John Harbaugh would take, is all I'm saying. So what head coaching job is the Giants? The Giants isn't the number one job.
Well, that's a pretty good job if you think about it. You got a star receiver. You got a young quarterback who showed some promise. You got really good pass rush. You got stable ownership. Not great media. You're going to deal with a lot of heckling media, which he's probably okay with that. What are the other jobs? I mean, I don't know how Miami
Baltimore,
is.
Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
Baltimore, you're going to be dealing with a cap situation with Lamar that they got to figure out. Well, first of all, it doesn't matter on Baltimore. That's where he's gone from. Pittsburgh is not a good job right now.
No.
They're in a reset mode. Dolphins, it's kind of tough to tell. I mean, there's some pieces there.
There's some cap space issues there.
Yeah.
But the owner's willing to give you whatever you want to make things happen. But right now,
it's really humid.
Next,
very
okay.
humid.
Okay. Next year, no matter what, it's going to be a reset year. So you'll get some patience. You're not going to be expected to win next year.
What else? Falcons? You know, you got a situation with the quarterback where you may be locked into a quarterback that's not good enough. He's had four season-ending injuries over the last 7 years. What other jobs are out there?
Carolina?
No, they're in the playoffs.
Well,
They didn't fire their coach.
No, not Carolina.
The Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Ugh. No quarterback.
Dry heat.
Yeah, it's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat.
Yeah, but you got no quarterback. You got everyone wants to get rid of Kyler. You don't have a quarterback there. That's not a good one.
Tennessee.
And it's cheap ownership.
Vegas.
Toxic ownership. Vegas. You know, Vegas is actually, I don't think Vegas is terrible. You got Ashton Jensen, who I think is going to be a special talent, but you really do need help on the offensive line. Like there's a lot of build-outs to do. Is Tom Brady a... Is that a guy that you look to like, hey, this is a big positive. Tom Brady's here. I don't know. I don't know how much weight that carries. I'd have to look at their – they have some pass rush. I'd have to look at what their draft capital looks like. But it's not – obviously, it's not great. I mean, you want to go somewhere you have a quarterback. That would be –
Will that be Fernando Mendoza?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, I guess Fernando Mendoza. They got the first pick, right, Raiders?
Yes.
Yeah. I tell you what, I was – you know, I looked at Ty Simpson yesterday. And I was looking at some statistics, like I can filter when you're pressured in the red zone on third and, you know, between 5 and 12 yards, all these different – and Fernando Mendoza is exceptional on all of them. I haven't watched him throw, but his data points are really, really good on most – on pretty much every – there's only a couple throws where it looks shaky. And they're really, really good on a lot of these.
Cleveland's the last job.
Yeah. Yeah, ownership. I don't know. Well, Titans have a young quarterback. Cleveland, unless you believe in Shedeur Sanders. I mean, if you don't have a quarterback, the Steelers, that's tough action. Yeah, when it comes to ownership and quarterback, the Giants actually are one of the ones that you look at and say, okay, steady ownership, young quarterback, we can roll. Titans have young quarterback with talent, yucky ownership. Dolphins, depends on what you think about Tua.
I think they're done with him, period.
With Tua?
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
Well, they'll eat it a deal a year like Russell Wilson and the Broncos.
Well, are they going to move him?
They will try, and if not, they'll have to suffer through a year of him on the...
Yeah, then that's not an ideal situation either.
No, I think the... Well,
not, these situations aren't great.
So...
The Cardinals, cheap ownership, no quarterback situation. You just have a capped out Kyler Murray.
Here's how SI ranks the jobs. Ravens, Falcons, Giants, Steelers, Titans, Dolphins, Raiders, Cardinals, Browns. I think the Raiders is up there higher too with Mendoza. You're starting with Mendoza. You're going to have a year grace period because you got a rookie quarterback. Plus, you're a brand new coach. They were terrible. You got a roster to build, but you know what? I think the Raiders are a much better job than that with Mendoza.
Well, let's talk to a guy who coached Mendoza.
That's right. We'll do that on the other side. Jake Spavital, who coached Francisco Mendoza. We will talk to him about him.
Fernando Mendoza.
What did I say? Francisco?
Francisco, yeah.
Oh, Fernando. Fernando Mendoza. We'll talk about that with Jake next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now we're talking about GimmeTheVin.com. I'm talking about John Clay Wolf. I'm talking about a guy who has created a monster business, started it with nothing, and has built it into one of, if not the biggest car buyer in America. GimmeTheVin.com is all over. He's got radio in every city. It's just incredible. If you listen to him here on Saturdays, he's our longest running show here on the station. If you listen to him, you know he's nuts. He is a little bit nuts. But you know what? He's been nuts in how much he spends on cars. You know, he just had a different philosophy than everybody else. I'm going to give the most for the car, and I'll make less when I sell it at auction. That's all. I'll still make money, but I'm going to make less. But I'm going to do higher volume, and that's exactly what he does. You know why? Because you know why he does higher volume? Because everybody wants more for their car, and he gives them more. So if you're going to sell your car, there's one place that you have to go to establish the market. GimmeTheVin.com, America's best car buyer. GimmeTheVin.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back. John and Lance, along with Dell, bringing in Jake Spavital. He is an old friend of the show. An old friend of Houston, too. He is now the Baylor offensive coordinator. He is the head coach of Texas State. He has coached the likes of Brandon Weeden, Geno Smith, Johnny Manziel, Kyler Murray, Kyle Allen, and last year, Fernando Mendoza. So I wanted to talk to him about Mendoza and get his thoughts. And also, he's coached with Shannon Dawson, so we'll get that perspective as well. Jake, welcome back to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. It's good to be back on the show, and it's good to have these conversations with you guys. It's been a while.
Well, let's start with Mendoza. You coached him last year. He threw for 3,000 yards, 16 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. This year, he threw for 300 more yards, but he had 41 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Quite a jump there. What did you see? Did you see this coming? Did you see Heisman Trophy in this guy?
You know, I got him as a redshirt freshman, and when I got to Cal, they talked about just how phenomenal of a person this kid is, how great of a worker he is, and how like everybody on the team just absolutely loved him. And he ended up starting versus Oregon State week 6, and went out there and did everything that you asked him to do. He competed. He prepared the right way. And it was just awesome to watch. And you just saw like what type of person he is. You've seen the interviews. He's a very authentic person. He's very consistent in who he is. And it's just been fun to watch him just progress because I believe he just keeps getting better and better every single week. And I don't even think he's close to playing his best ball yet.
No, he's really taken a step. He's very accurate. He's very poised. He's got great composure, which is what you need against that Miami rush. And I think that, he's in command, Jake. He's in command of the offense. And that's something that is really underrated on the collegiate level with so few with players being, kind of rushed through. They start their freshman year and all that. You don't always see a guy who has command of the offense. That's something that stood out to me is that as the season's progressed, he really has command of the offense. And I think that goes back to the head coach has clearly defined our philosophy is going to be we're going to hit you in the mouth with the running game and we're going to be efficient with the passing game. So he kind of he drives the bus, but he makes throws. Like he still makes plays.
Yeah, I bet that's the best way to explain it. Like he just seems so comfortable, in command of what he's doing. I've studied a lot of their tape this year, and I believe he's one of the more. It's one of the more efficient offenses, but I think he's one of the more efficient players. His stat line is ridiculous after every game. Like last week was 5 touchdowns, 4 incompletions. Like you're just sitting there watching. They don't ask him to do a lot. He's throwing it around 20 times a game, but he's capable of putting the game on his shoulders. And if they ask him to throw 40 times, I still think he'd be very efficient in what he does, like complete control of the game and understanding what needs to be accomplished. I think just the game management side of him has just been, something where you've seen just huge growth of him over the years. But I think that's one of the main reasons why they're having like a lot of success.
Jake Spavital with us here, offensive coordinator, Baylor, on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Just to be clear, Jake coached him in 23. He had the 16-6 last year. As a matter of fact, when you coached him, he was 14-10, but that's a redshirt freshman playing, and look at how he has progressed. We call him AI here because the kid is unbelievable, Jake. I mean, you obviously saw that too. Just the kind of kid that every single answer can't be more perfect. He praises the Lord. I mean, there's everything about this kid it's almost unreal.
Yeah, and like what's crazy is just being around him. It's just not like that is who he is. Like I've been talking like NFL scouts will call me about him and ask about like how like is this actually real, and like that's what you get on a day by day basis with the kid. He's one of the most authentic kids I've ever been around. He's very consistent in who he is. He's very he's such a good person and a great teammate as well. And like you see like just the excitement that those guys have for him, how they rally around him. He's like the complete package right now. But like, I just love it because he's always been authentic and he stays true to who he is. He never changes.
Well, there's a lot of talk about Fernando Mendoza, Heisman winner. He'll he'll be the first pick of the draft. But Carson Beck, the game could hinge on Carson Beck. Are we going to get the good Carson Beck or the one who, you know, makes the critical mistakes? Carson Beck has played well lately, and Carson Beck has a lot of talent. There's no question about it. It's just the biggest differentiator between those two quarterbacks sometimes is the decision-making in critical moments. What are your thoughts on Carson Beck, the talent that you saw at Georgia, then at Miami, the highs, the lows, where he is right now in the postseason? Like, what are your thoughts on Carson Beck?
Jake, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There it is. Okay, go ahead. Sorry. Start over, yeah, Jake.
I was just talking about how Carson, you know, just, you know, watching, you know, his career at Georgia and watching him be put on a platform and, like, just, you know, really everything that he does is dissected, you know, like, and criticized. And just watching his story and, like, starting back over and working with Shannon Dawson and you know, some of the big-time throws that he's had. It's just a great story of adversity and ups and downs and the highs and lows of this game, and he stayed true to it, and he's out there having a ton of success, and he gets to play in the national championship. And, you know, I think this is going to be a great game to watch with two just like NFL quarterbacks that I think will play for a while.
You guys are all, you know, from the same school, the Leach Holgorsen school, you, Shannon. How about seeing – and there's a lot of guys, Eric Morris, all those guys. I mean, there's a lot of success going on around with that group of coaches. What about seeing what Shannon is doing this year? How neat is that?
Dude, I'm so fired up for him. You know, Shannon's, you know, I ended up living with him out in West Virginia and just watching his success and watching how he's evolved. You know, I watch his stuff every single week, and just to watch him just, you know, progress and change from like the true air raid system of when he was calling it back in Stephen F. Austin a long time ago and was throwing it around. And now you're watching him on fourth down and two in the national semifinal game, just, you know, absolutely mauling the defensive line and just handing the ball off on fourth and two and getting the first down. And just shows you that he's evolved. He's done a ton more formations and motions and shifts and has really kind of evolved, really, the offense is still keeping the same principles of the air raid as he does it as well. So, you know, fired up for Shannon to, you know, to be able to play in this national championship game. I think he's probably the first one of the air raid system to actually play in this game.
We've got Jake Spavital here with us. And I would be remiss. Johnny was back in the news again last week. He had said something or somebody, I don't know what the deal is, but you saw the documentary. You saw, you know, Johnny's addictions, his extracurricular activities, all of that stuff. We have a text stream that asked, you know, what, Jake, you coached all of these guys, and as a coach, to have a guy that's as undisciplined as Johnny, you would think the coaching staff would be like, wow, what a headache, or what. You really like Johnny still, right?
Yeah, you know, I've been fortunate to coach a lot of great, you know, quarterbacks, but Johnny just had this presence that when he crossed the white lines, like, everybody wanted to play for him because he was going to, like, give everything that he had. He was going to sacrifice everything. Wasn't afraid of, you know, getting hit. You know, he was going to compete. He just had this presence that kind of made everybody else around him better. And you know, there was a lot of NFL talent on that A&M team. And just to watch him, like, just be in control of it and go out there and play at a high level, I just love watching, you know, Johnny play. And I think there's a lot of people out there that just love watching Johnny in his college days.
Was he the most talented guy you coached?
You know, he's arguably up there. You know, just, like, I thought his ability to scramble and extend plays has just made him one of the most exciting players in early college football history. And you know, his competitive edge, like, you know, he's going to compete at everything that he did. And when he got him out there, he was going to find a way to try to go and score.
You know, it's funny John mentioned the word talent. I just had this conversation online with people where I think there's confusion about the word talent sometimes. Talent, to me, somebody tried to argue, because I said Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback that I've ever watched. Pure talent. Joe Montana. Like, Joe Montana wasn't super talented. He was a great competitor. Talent doesn't necessarily make you a great quarterback. Jeff George, Jay Cutler, those are really talented quarterbacks. doesn't necessarily make you a great quarterback. You got to have that competitiveness, and you know, and there's the mental part of it as well. But in terms of pure talent, like, how much do you think, as you've been in this job for a long time, do you think talent sometimes is a little overrated relative to competitiveness and intelligence at the position?
Yeah, when we're evaluating quarterbacks, like, you're going to have the quarterback that's going to be able to make the throws and be able to play at a high level just from the physical attributes. But I think what, like, you know, separates all quarterback play is the intangibles, just kind of like the leadership qualities and the competitive edge that they have, and really just, you know, the football IQ. That's the stuff that we, like, pay attention to more when we're evaluating quarterbacks, is, like, do they love football? Like, are they going to be a guy that's going to go out there and compete, or are they going to rally the troops? And I thought Johnny was definitely one of those guys. And when you got him out there on the field, like, there was a confidence that he brought that everybody on the field knew that we can go down and score because we had Johnny Football out there.
Jake Spavital, before we go, Baylor offensive coordinator, we won't mention names, but it looked like you were going to have a quarterback, and then you didn't have a quarterback, and then you did have a quarterback. As a coach right now, try to tell people what it's like to, and you know, you guys have all got it good and all of that, but how difficult this portal and NIL situation is and how different it is than it has been.
Yeah, there's so many unique conversations because every single person on your team, right, is really going to try to get more money or go explore new opportunities. And, you know, and that's great for them. Where it's hard is, like, how do you build a roster? And I think where they've had the one portal, you know, window now has kind of cleared up a lot more. When you had the second portal window out there in May, that got very difficult. But, you know, right now I just think with, you know, how college football is, you know, like, you're looking at a new roster really for every single team in the country. And I just can't wait for this thing to the portal window to close, for us to figure out who our roster is so we can get back to work, because we're actually changing up how we do our off season, and we're going to do really a month of just culture building, just trying to figure out, like, for our team to get to know each other, because I think every team in the country is really going to have a new core of people in, which, you know, you got to really, you know, strip it all down and start from day one and, like, actually start to get to know who you got on your roster and get to know each other before you actually start getting into the football side of things. So yeah, it's a very unique time, but, you know, it's not going away, and you got to adapt and you got to figure it out.
Jake Spavital, offensive coordinator Baylor, with us here on ESPN 97.5. Jake, man, we really appreciate it. I know you got meetings, so go get it. We appreciate your time. And so who are you rooting for, Shannon or Mendoza?
You know, I was thinking about this. Fernando won the Heisman. You know, he's got a lot of great accolades right now. It'd be awesome for Shannon to go get him a national championship.
Yeah, once a coach, once a player. That's a no contest.
Well, yeah, you lived with him, too.
Yeah.
And you lived with him.
Yeah, I'm saying. I would love to see Shannon
so
go win.
He's about to step into a multi-million-dollar contract.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they both are. If they win, they both.
Yeah, but
both
one
are.
Has to coach with Mario, so, you know.
Yeah, there's that. All right, Jake, as always, man, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again.
All right, great talking with you guys.
Thanks, Jake.
Talk to you soon.
There's Jake Spavital, offensive coordinator, Baylor Bears, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.4. All right, we got Josh Pate joining us, top of the
Jake
9 o'clock.
Coach Kenny Thrill Hill?
Did Jake?
Do you remember the great Kenny Hill who had Thrill, that one game that one time?
I don't know. Was he gone already?
Remember that TCU game? I don't know.
No, it was the South Carolina game.
It was
the open of the season.
Oh, yeah. South Carolina, yeah.
I hope he didn't coach him. That really turned out
well,
terribly
that one game
after that
was
first
good.
Game.
Yeah, that's right. Kenny transferred to TCU.
Yeah.
He did. Kenny Hill's now a coach.
Is he?
Is he?
Yes.
Good for Kenny.
Yes, Jake Spavital did coach Kenny Thrill Hill.
Nice.
And he had the one moment. He was the next guy after Johnny. And we're like, hey, how are they going to replace Johnny? And then Kenny Hill had the great game, and things didn't go well after that, really.
Not after that.
He's currently the co-offensive coordinator at Incarnate Word, where
nice.
Cam Ward came from.
Uh-huh. He's got a draftable wide receiver.
And he coached under Jake at Cal as an offensive quality control coach.
Okay.
Nice.
That's when he's just getting into the biz.
Actually, let me take that back. He was at Cal, but Jake had gone to Texas State. But they've crossed paths a couple times, it looks like.
Huh. Neat. All right, time to talk HRP. You need to cross your T's and dot your I's. You need to be better. You need to be a better business, okay? Your people depend on it. You're feeding families, okay? Are you the CEO, the CFO? Are you a decision maker? Are you doing as well as you possibly can? Are you getting your people their payroll as efficiently, technologically, economically? Are you doing this because it's important that you keep that business rolling, that you do it as well as possible? Okay, there's a lot of places that, you know, a lot of things that cost money. This is an asset. This is not a liability. This is an asset because they are making you money. They are doing it more efficiently. They are doing it at a better price than you can do it. They're doing their HR and payroll and taxes. When you combine those three and what HRP does for you, you're saving money. And that's the bottom line. It goes to your bottom line, not to whomever you're paying to do it now. If you are with an admin company, chances are HRP can do it better. If you're doing it yourself, HRP for sure can do it better. So you're looking for the best way to get that payroll and that HR. Let them take a look at your business and figure it out what's best for you. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.